Welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin, where we focus on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please do not forget to hit the subscribe button and click on notifications so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, we are again privileged to be joined by Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. Dr. Ben-Shahar is the author of multiple international best-selling books. He taught two of the largest classes in Harvard University's history, positive psychology and the psychology of leadership. In addition, Tal is the co-founder and chief learning officer of the Happiness Studies Academy, which I am a very proud graduate of, and Potential Life. So Tal, welcome to you once again today. Thank you.
Good to be back, Martin. I could get used to this. Be careful.
We had a good time last time. We could go on for hours and hours and hours, of course. And so last time we talked a lot about what is happiness, what happiness isn't, the effects of social media, the effects on self-talk and self-perception theory. And so in this episode, we wanted to kind of take a deeper dive into your SPIRE concept and the concept of whole being as it relates to what comprises happiness, and then talk a little bit about what you're teaching and how you're engaged with people, frankly, all over the world. So I'm super excited for this episode. So Tal, share with us what is SPIRE and whole being? What is all of these concepts?
You know, so whole being is short for whole person well-being. Mm-hmm. We talked about last time how when we define happiness, we need to look at the whole person. Mm-hmm. Not just at the emotions, not yep. just at the mind, not mm-hmm. just at the body. We need to look at it all. And SPIRE is a model that my colleagues and I came up with that essentially encapsulates mm-hmm. these different elements mm-hmm. of well-being, each one part of who we are. So the first element of the SPIRE of whole being is spiritual well-being. That's the S. Mm-hmm. Spiritual well-being is about, could be of course about religion, but we can also find spirituality when we find a sense of purpose and meaning mm-hmm. in what we're doing, mm-hmm. related to religion or not. Or right. we can find a sense of meaning and purpose by being present in the here and now, mm-hmm. being mindful. Henry Miller said that everything that we pay full attention to becomes extraordinary. Mm-hmm. sacred, even a blade of grass. Mm-hmm. And I certainly subscribe to it. Albert Einstein said there are only two ways to look at the world. One is as if nothing is a miracle. The other is as if everything is a miracle. So that's that. a spiritual perspective on reality. So spiritual well-being, that's the first element of SPIRE. The second one, the P of SPIRE, is physical well-being. Mm-hmm. And, that's essentially about another acronym, NEST, mm-hmm. which is about nutrition and exercise and sleep and touch. Mm-hmm. And all these are important elements of a full and fulfilling life. You know, for example, physical exercise, regular physical exercise has the same effect on our psychological well-being as our most powerful psychiatric medication. Yes. You know, it releases norepinephrine, serotonin, dopamine, the feel-good chemicals yeah. in the brain. So that's physical well-being. The I of SPIRE is intellectual well-being. Mm-hmm. What's that about? That's about curiosity, for instance. There's research showing that people who are curious, who ask questions mm-hmm. all the time, are actually more likely to live longer, not to mention to be happier.
Well, as a coach, then I guess I'm okay because that's all I do is I ask questions.
Ask questions. Well, you know, you're helping yourself and you're helping yeah. your coach because Absolutely. You're pushing them to think further.
Yeah.
And that's part of intellectual, very important part of intellectual well-being. So learning, and by the way, it doesn't matter what you learn, mm-hmm. whether you learn coaching or whether mm-hmm. you learn Sanskrit or sure. whether you learn about the natural world. Mm-hmm. So learning is an important part of intellectual well-being, of course. The R of SPIRE is relationships. Mm-hmm. Number one predictor of happiness, quality time we spend with people we care about mm-hmm. and who care about us. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about this is that it doesn't matter what kind of relationships. For some, it may be the romantic relationships that they haven't had, or for others, it can be their families or friends or professional relationships that are supportive, which is mm-hmm. the key. But relationships are important, the most important Absolutely. Element of a happy life. And finally, the E of Spire is emotional well-being. And mm-hmm. we talked about it a little bit in the last episode. That's about learning to deal with painful emotions mm-hmm. by giving ourselves the permission to be human, by embracing rather than rejecting mm-hmm. Sadness or anxiety or anger or envy. And it's also about cultivating pleasurable emotions, mm-hmm. whether it's joy or playfulness or gratitude. And when we bring these five elements together, spiritual, physical, intellectual, relational, and emotional, that's when we have whole person well-being. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to thrive and flourish in all of them all of the time. That's quite impossible.
Sure.
That's certainly not most of the time. But what we can do is we can identify any one of the five mm-hmm. and through that find a way in. Mm-hmm. Use that as a leverage point for us to increase our overall whole being.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's an amazing concept. I mentioned last time how I've noticed of myself, and I stumbled into it at first, that particularly on a weekend, because I'm a professional man, I'm very busy, I work a lot. And sometimes when a weekend comes, when there's the quiet time, that's when your mind starts up. And I started to notice most specifically on the weekends, where at the end of the day, I'd say, oh my gosh, that was an amazing day. Mm. And after I started to learn about Spire, I started to think about my day and think about, what did I do today that was so amazing? And son of a gun, every single time, it will include most, if not all, elements of Spire. Every single time. Every single time. You know, so, what were you going to say? Yeah, go ahead, wait, please.
No, please finish. Oh,
so, you know, it's, I guess, like anything else, and there's others who speak about morning routines. Like, for example, there's a huge, like, Miracle Morning community, which has very similar elements to Spire. Not completely, but very similar elements to Spire. And the whole concept, I know you talk about in the course, the concept of habits and routine and, you know, short-term habits versus long-term habits. There's a lot of great research on habits and what spawns habits and what keeps you in the habit. And so when it relates to Spire and it relates to all these activities or actions, if you will, for somebody who's just hearing this for the first time, you know, what would you say to somebody that says to you, I love the Spire concept, like, but how do I get started? Or what kinds of things can I do? Like, help me figure this out. Help me live a life of whole being. What would you say to them?
Yeah, you know, so the first thing I would say is what you actually described right now, which mm-hmm. is inquire mm-hmm. in your experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, so many of us naturally inquire about our experiences when things are not going well.
Yep. Yep.
When, you know, we had a terrible day. Why did I have that terrible day?
Yep.
When we have a good day, we're less likely to ask that question. And it's no less important.
Yep.
Because when we inquire appreciatively, as David Cooper Ryder would say, mm-hmm. appreciatively into our day, we can identify things that we did that we may want to repeat. Mm-hmm. So we can learn a great deal from our best experiences, not just from our worst ones.
Absolutely.
So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Learn from yourself. You know, we talked last time and this time about research. Mm-hmm. No less important than research is me search. Mm-hmm. So yes. Looking in, asking, what is it about what I did, the way I led that day mm-hmm. that contributed to my whole being, to my happiness? Mm-hmm. And then see, can I do more of it? Mm-hmm. Second, we need to find rituals. We need to find activities that we can do over and over again. We need to follow what I've come to call as the 3R process. Mm-hmm. What's the 3R process? The first R stands for reminders. It's important to remind ourselves of what's important to us in life. What do we want to do more of? For instance, perhaps remind ourselves to meditate each morning, or remind ourselves to appreciate, to express gratitude for what we have, whether it's at night or when we wake up in the morning. Remind ourselves to be kind and generous toward other people, even kinder and more generous than we are now. So it's important to have those reminders. Second, based on these reminders, we need repetition. That's the second R. And do something over and over and over again. Why? Because it's through repetition that we create rituals. Now, what are rituals? Rituals are physically neural pathways that have been reinforced, embedded, etched into our brain. They're actually physical constructs. When we repeat something, you know, if you you have neural pathways associated with brushing your teeth every day. You have neural pathways, if you're a tennis player, associated with the forehand. And in the same way, we want neural pathways associated with kindness, or with appreciation, or with concern over physical and mental health, or whatever it is that we want to introduce into our lives. So yeah, first we need to figure out what is that best version of ourselves? When are we at our happiest and best? And we do that through appreciative inquiry. And second, create rituals, behaviors around that, by reminding ourselves, by repeating it, and through that, it becomes quite literally second nature, embedded, etched, part of our being.
Absolutely. And I know you talked about the whole push versus pull concept of these rituals. And for me, it's almost, I use it almost as a litmus test. Because if there's a ritual that I've done that for whatever reason I can't do on that given day and I miss it, then I know that I've created that neural pathway. I've created that ritual for something that I really enjoy. You know, last May, I ended up having this kind of freak accident. I fractured my sternum. I injured my hand. I still have stitches from surgery last week. And my morning routine got upended. And so, you know, I would wake up and I would do a little bit of exercise because what I've taken many quotes from you. One in particular was that if we understand that exercise can fight against depression, then if we don't exercise, it could be a depressant, right? I'm paraphrasing, but. And so every morning I would get up and I had bought this plank board. I couldn't do my plank board. You know, after my hand surgery, I couldn't write in my journal, but I could still meditate and I could still be thankful and I could, you know, do my journaling in my phone instead of on paper. And, you know, because of some of your teachings, I created a ritual out of journaling. And so I would buy, not expensive, but a nice leather journal to write in. So it became a ritual about journaling itself. So I love this idea of creating rituals. And it kind of brings me the whole concept about how not only happiness, but life in itself is a journey. And that if we're too focused on the end game, that we, you know, when we if we do happen to reach that end game, then the concept becomes now what, you know? I know Sean Accord talks about, you know, if we keep focusing on goals and then we reach them, the goalpost keeps changing. And so what would you say to somebody relative to, you know, getting involved in these things and looking for progress or knowing when they're there relative to journey versus destination? What would you say to them?
Yeah, you know, Martin, this is a huge topic, a very important topic. Essentially, you have, and I'm using very broad brushstrokes here, but essentially you have two schools of thought when it comes to happiness. The first school of thought says it's about goals. It's about achieving great things. And if you achieve the things that you want to achieve in life, your goals, your meaningful goals, that's happiness.
Sure.
And there's a long tradition of this school of thought going way back to the Greeks. the ancient Greeks. Today, it's mostly associated with the Western approach. The other school of thought says, no, it's not about the future. It's all about the here and now. It's all about learning to be in the present, mindful. That's when you'll find happiness. Now, the thing is, they have a point. Because we know that people who achieve a goal, sometimes a goal that they've had for decades, a goal that defined them, they achieve it within no time. You know, it could be 3 months or a month. Sometimes it could be hours. They reach that goal and they thought that they had arrived at the happily ever after, and they did not. And we see this, and I'm sure most people, you know, watching, listening here have experienced it, where they thought that something would lead them to that place. Something would lead them there, and then they realize that there is no there. So the present moment school of thought, they have a very strong point. However, the goal setting, the goal achievement school of thought, they also have a strong point. And their strong point is that part of our nature is to want to achieve more, to aspire to higher planes, more development, more growth, more achievement. And that's part of human nature, which I don't think we should deny. Or if we do, we pay a price for it. So what we need to do is find a synthesis between these two models, because both of them have part of the truth, not the whole truth. What is that synthesis? What does it look like? The synthesis is this: have a long-term goal, have a meaningful goal, something that's important for you to achieve. And once you know what it is, let it go. Use it as a guide to provide you with a sense of direction, but realize that whether you achieve it or not actually doesn't matter that much for your happiness. What matters much more is having the goal rather than reaching the goal. Let me give you a personal example. So my publisher just let me know that she wants my book out on April 27th of next. I have a goal, a very clear guidepost that I want to reach. Now I have that. I can let go of it. I don't need it anymore, other than to liberate my experience of the present moment. Because right now I'm waking up every morning, sitting on this computer right here and writing for 3 to 4 hours. Because I have April 27th as the deadline, or as Tommy, my wife, puts it, as the lifeline. And that goal, that future goal, enables me to enjoy the present moment. That's happiness. Having a goal, having a destination, having that peak in mind, knowing what it is, and then letting go of it and focusing on the journey, on this step.
Absolutely. No, I think that's amazing advice. And I mean, speaking for myself personally, that's one of the reasons why I have launched this channel. And so it was about bringing amazing people like yourself that I've come to know, or know personally in some cases, to the world. And so that's the goal. And I've had so much, it's brought me so much, you know, happiness and intention in reaching that goal. And I'm also being realistic and pulling from my leadership side and delegating to people. I don't know how to edit videos. My friend does that. I don't know how to deal with social media. Another friend does that. So I get to focus, you know, in my passion and performance strength in that zone in the middle where I feel that I'm getting the most, shall we say, juice out of the experience. So thank you so very much for that. So as we kind of wrap up, I'd love for you to share with everybody, you know, what the Happiness Studies Academy is, what Potential Life is. As I said in both videos, I'm a very proud graduate of the Happiness Studies Academy. I absolutely loved the experience. I thought it was, frankly, for me, it was life-changing. So if you could kind of share with us a little bit about what each of those are, that would be wonderful.
So the Happiness Studies Academy is about answering two questions for participants, for students. The first question is, how can I become happier? The second question is, how can I help others become happier? Now, these two questions are relevant not just because they provide us more happy moments, which is important in and of itself, of course. But these happy moments, or these happy experiences, or a happier life also contributes to many other elements. For example, it helps us become more creative, more productive, more engaged. It improves our relationships. It contributes to our physical health. So there are many benefits that are derivatives of becoming happier. So that's the purpose. And the way we teach is by focusing on the different disciplines. So we look at psychology and philosophy and theology and poetry and movies. And we bring together all that very, very wise women and men throughout history. That's to say, what they researched, what they thought about, we integrate it into a coherent whole that sheds light on these two questions. How can I become happier? How can I help others do the same?
That's fantastic.
Potential Life is another organization that I co-founded, and that focuses on how can I bring the ideas from positive psychology, from the science of happiness to organizations? How can I help managers and employees derive more joy, more meaning from what they're doing? And how is this translated then into not just higher levels of work satisfaction, but also to better performance in the workplace as well as home?
Absolutely. No, I think that's fantastic. And I guess in a lot of ways, I achieved the two goals for the Happiness Studies Academy: to learn how to become more happy and to bring it to others, because that's what we're doing here today. So that's absolutely fantastic. And part of what you talked about in the course related to Potential Life is the whole concept of, you know, a job, a career, or a calling. You know, going on Amy Rusnewski's research. And I talk about even internally at Spirit Education relative to our new employees, because I'm part of the immersion training process. And every single time I talk about her research, because we at Spirit Education, we end up impacting tens of thousands of dentists, which impact millions of human beings. And that means something. And so that's absolutely fantastic. So I will go ahead and put the information both for the HSA and for Potential Life, of course, down below this video. But I want to sincerely thank you so very much for joining us, not only last time, but this time as well. And it's really been an honor to spend this time with you. And so I guess in closing, I don't want anybody to forget, please, if you've enjoyed this and any of the other videos, please go ahead, subscribe, click the notification buttons, and you can always find me on martinmendelsohn.com. And lastly, as I say each and every time, please remember that life speaks to you, and if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.